Chapter 76. That God's providence cares for all individuals immediately. Now some have granted that divine providence reaches these individual things, but through certain intermediary causes. For Plato, according to Gregory of Nyssa, posited a threefold providence. The first is that of the Supreme God, who cares first and foremost for his own, i.e., spiritual and intellectual beings, and consequently for the whole world, as regards genera, species, and the universal causes, i.e., the heavenly bodies. The second consists in the care of individual animals and plants and other things subject to generation and corruption, in the matter of their generation, corruption and other changes. This providence Plato ascribed to the gods who wander about heaven, while Aristotle ascribes the casualty of such things to the oblique circle. The third providence he places over things concerning human life, and he ascribes it to certain demons who dwell in the neighborhood of the earth and, according to him, are in charge of human actions. Yet, according to Plato, the second and third providence depend on the first, because the Supreme God appointed those of the second and third class as governors. This opinion accords with the Catholic faith, insofar as it refers universal providence to God as its first author. But it would seem contrary to the faith in that it denies that every individual thing is immediately subject to divine providence. This may be proved from what has been already laid down, for God has immediate knowledge of individuals, as knowing them not merely in their causes, but also in themselves, as we proved in the first book. Now it would seem unreasonable if, knowing individuals, he did not desire their order, wherein the chief good of things consists, since his will is the source of all goodness. Consequently, even as he knows individuals immediately, so does he establish order among them immediately. Again, the order established by providence in the things governed is derived from the order conceived in the mind of the governor, even as the art form that is produced in matter is derived from that which is in the mind of the craftsman. Now, where there are several in charge, one subordinate to another, the higher must deliver to the inferior the order he has conceived, just as a subordinate art receives its principles from the higher. Accordingly, supposing the governors of the second and third rank to be under the chief governor, who is the Supreme God, it follows that they must receive from the Supreme God the order to be established among things. But this order cannot be more perfect in them than in the Supreme God. In fact, all perfections proceed from him into other things in descending order, as we proved above. And the order of things must be in the governors of the second rank, not only in general, but also as to the individual, else they would be unable to establish order in individuals by their providence. Much more therefore is the order of individuals under the control of divine providence. Besides, in things ruled by human providence, it is to be observed that someone is placed at the head, who has charge of general matters of great importance, and by himself devises what arrangements to make with regard to them, while he himself does not trouble about the order of minor affairs, but leaves this to others lower than himself. And this is owing to a defect on his part, inasmuch as he ignores the conditions of particular matters of less importance, or is himself incompetent to decide the order of everything, on account of the labor and delay required for the purpose. But such defects are far removed from God, for he knows all individual things, nor does he require labor or time in order to understand them, since by understanding himself, he knows all other things, as we proved above. Therefore he himself devises the order of all individuals, and his providence is concerned about all individuals immediately. Moreover, in human affairs the inferior officials by their own skill devise the ordering of the things subjected to their government by the chief governor, which skill they do not receive from the chief, nor its use, for if they received it from the chief, the ordering would be done by the superior, and they would no longer be devisers of this ordering but executors. Now, from what has been said, it is clear that all wisdom and understanding is caused in every intellect by the Supreme God, nor can any intellect understand except by God's power, even as neither does any agent act except in so far as it acts by God's power. Therefore God himself cares for all things immediately by his providence, and whoever is set to govern under him is the executor of his providence. Further, the higher providence gives rules to the lower providence, even as the politician gives rules and laws to the commander-in-chief, who gives rules and laws to the captains and generals. Consequently, if there be other providences subordinate to the highest providence of the supreme God, it follows that God gives the second and third governors the rules of their office. Either, therefore, he gives general rules and laws or particular. If he gives them general rules, since general rules are not always applicable to particular cases, especially in matters that are subject to movement and change, it would be necessary for these governors of the second or third rank to go beyond the rules given them in deciding about matters confided to their care. Consequently, they would exercise judgment on the rules given to them, as to when to act according to them, and when it would be necessary to disregard them, which is impossible, because such a judgment belongs to the superior, since the interpretation of laws and dispensation from their observance belong to him who made the law. Accordingly, judgment concerning general rules that have been given must be pronounced by the governor-in-chief, and this would not be possible unless he concerned himself immediately with the ordering of individuals. Therefore, on this supposition, he should be the immediate governor of such things. If, on the other hand, the governors of the second or third rank receive particular rules and laws from the supreme governor, it is clear that then the ordering of these individual matters comes immediately from divine providence. Moreover, the higher governor always has the right to judge of the arrangements made by the lower governors, whether they be fitting or not. Consequently, if the second or third governors are subordinate to God the chief governor, it follows that God judges of the arrangements made by them, which would be impossible if God considered not the ordering of these individual matters. Therefore he personally cares for individuals by himself. Again, if God does not care for these lower individuals immediately by himself, this is either because he despises them, or, as some say, lest his dignity should be besmirched by them. But this is unreasonable, for there is more dignity in providing for and planning the ordering of things than operating in them. Consequently, if God works in all things, as was proved above, and this far from being derogatory to his dignity, on the contrary, belongs to his all-pervading and supreme power, it is nowise contemptible in him, nor does it besmirch his dignity, if his providence extends to these individual things immediately. Further, every wise man who uses his power providently moderates that use in his actions by directing the purpose and extent of that use, else his power would not be obsequious to his wisdom. Now it is clear from what has been said that divine providence, in its operations, extends to the lowest things. Consequently, divine providence directs which and how many effects are to result from its power, and how they are to result therefrom, even in the very lowest of things. Therefore God himself by his providence immediately plans the ordering of all things. Hence it is said, those that are ordained of God, and thou hast done the things of old, and hast devised one thing after another, and what thou hast designed hath been done. Chapter 77. That the execution of divine providence is carried out by secondary causes. It must be observed that two things are required for providence, the order and the execution of the order. The first is the work of the cognitive power, wherefore those that are more perfect in knowledge are said to order others, for it belongs to the wise man to order. The second is the work of the operative power. Now these two are in inverse proportion to each other, for the ordering is the more perfect according as it extends to the smallest things, whereas the execution of the least things belongs to the lower power proportionate to the effect. In God we find the highest perfection as to both, since in him is the most perfect wisdom in ordering, and the most perfect power for operation. Consequently, he it is who by his wisdom disposes all things, even the very least in their order, and who executes the least or lowest things by means of other inferior powers, through which he operates, As a universal and higher power through an inferior and particular power, it is fitting therefore that there should be inferior active powers to execute divine providence. Again, it was proved above, that the divine operation does not exclude the operations of secondary causes, and whatever is affected by the operations of secondary causes, is subject to divine providence, since God directs all individual things by Himself, as was proved above. Therefore, secondary causes execute divine providence. Besides, the stronger the power of an agent, the further does its operation extend, thus the greater the fire, the more distant things does it heat. But this is not the case with an agent that does not act through an intermediary, because everything on which it acts is close to it. Since then the power of divine providence is supreme, it must bring its operation to bear on the most distant things through certain intermediaries. Further, it belongs to the dignity of a ruler to have many ministers and various executors of his rule, because the greater the number of his subordinates of various degrees, the more complete and extensive is his dominion shown to be. But no government can compare with the divine in point of dignity. Therefore it is fitting that the execution of divine providence be committed to agents of various degrees. Moreover, suitable order is a proof of perfect providence, for order is the proper effect of providence. Now suitable order implies that nothing be allowed to be out of order. Consequently, the perfection of divine providence requires that it should reduce the excess of certain things over others to a suitable order, and this is done by allowing those who have less to benefit from the superabundance of others. Since then the perfection of the universe requires that some share more abundantly in the divine goodness, as we proved above, the perfection of divine providence demands that the execution of the divine government be fulfilled by those things which have the larger share of divine goodness. Again, the order of causes excels the order of effects, even as the cause excels the effect. Consequently, it is a greater proof of the perfection of providence. Now, if there were no intermediary causes to execute divine providence, there would be no order of causes in the world, but of effects only. Therefore the perfection of divine providence requires intermediary causes for its fulfillment. Hence it is written, Psalms 102:21, Bless the Lord, all ye His hosts, you ministers of His who do His will, and Psalms 8, Fire, hail, snow, ice, stormy winds, which fulfill His word. Chapter 78. That by means of intellectual creatures other creatures are ruled by God. Since it belongs to divine providence that order be preserved in the world, and suitable order consists in a proportionate descent from the highest to the lowest, it is meet that divine providence should reach the most distant things according to a certain proportion. This proportion consists in this, that just as the highest creatures are subject to God and governed by Him, so the lower creatures are subject to and governed by the higher. Now of all creatures the highest is the intellectual, as was proved above. Therefore the very nature of divine providence demands that the remaining creatures be ruled by rational creatures. Again, whatever creature executes the order of divine providence does so in so far as it has a share of the power of the supreme providence, even as the instrument has no movement except in so far as through being moved it has a share in the power of the principal agent. Accordingly, those things which have the larger share of the power of divine providence are the executors of divine providence in regard to those whose share is smaller. Now intellectual creatures have a greater share thereof than others, because while providence requires disposition of order which is effected by the cognitive faculty, and execution which is the work of the operative power, rational creatures have a share of both powers, whereas other creatures have only the latter. Therefore all other creatures are ruled, under divine providence, by rational creatures. Moreover, to whomsoever God gives a power, it is given in relation to the effect of that power, for then are all things disposed of in the best way, when each one is directed to all the goods that it has a natural aptitude to produce. Now the intellective power by its very nature is a directive and governing faculty. Hence we see that when they are united in the one subject, The operative power follows the ruling of the intellective power as in man the limb moves at the will's command. The same may be seen also, if they be in different subjects, since those men who excel in the operative power need to be directed by those who excel in the intellective faculty. Therefore, the nature of divine providence requires that other creatures be ruled by intellectual creatures. Again, particular powers are naturally adapted to be moved by universal powers, as may be seen both in art and in nature. Now it is evident that the intellective power is more universal than any other operative power, because it contains universal forms, whereas all operative powers proceed only from a form proper to the operator. Therefore, all other creatures must needs be moved and ruled by intellectual powers. Moreover, in all ordered powers, that one is directive of another, which has the better knowledge about the plan to be followed. Thus we may observe in the arts, that the art which is concerned with the end, whence is taken the entire scheme of the work to be produced, directs and governs the art that is immediately productive of that work. For instance, the art of sailing governs the art of shipbuilding, and the art which gives the form governs the art which prepares the material, whereas the instruments, through having no knowledge of the scheme, are governed only. Since then intellectual creatures alone are able to know the scheme of the ordering of creatures, it belongs to them to rule and govern all other creatures. Further, that which is per se is the cause of that which is by another. Now intellectual creatures alone operate per se, since they are masters of their own actions through having free will, whereas other creatures operate through natural necessity, as being moved by another. Therefore intellectual creatures by their operations move and rule other creatures. Chapter 79. That the lower intellectual substances are ruled by the higher. Forasmuch as some intellectual creatures are higher than others, as we have shown, the lower intellectual nature must needs be governed by the higher. Again, the more universal powers move the particular powers, as already stated. And the higher intellectual natures have more universal forms, as we have proved. Therefore they rule of the lower intellectual natures. Besides, the intellective faculty that is nearer to the principle is always found to be the ruler of the intellectual faculty that is more distant from the principle. This is evident both in speculative and in practical science. For the speculative science that receives its principles of demonstration from another is said to be subalternate to it, and the practical science that is nearer to the end, which is the principle in practical matters, is the master science in comparison with the more distant. Since then some intellectual substances are nearer to the first principle, namely God, as we have shown, they will be the rulers of the others. Moreover, the higher intellectual substances receive the influence of divine wisdom more perfectly, since each one receives something according to its mode. Now all things are governed by divine wisdom, so that those which have the greater share of divine wisdom govern those which have the smaller share. Therefore the lower intellectual substances are governed by the higher. Wherefore the higher spirits are called both angels, inasmuch as they direct the lower spirits, by message as it were, for angels are called messengers, and ministers, forasmuch as by their operation they execute, even in corporeal things, the order of divine providence, because a minister is like an animate instrument according to the philosopher. This is what is said, Psalms 103, "For who makest thy angels spirits and thy ministers a burning fire." Chapter 80. Of the order between one angel and another. Since corporeal things are governed by spiritual, as we have proved, since there is order of a kind among corporeal things, it follows that the higher bodies are governed by the higher intellectual substances, and the lower bodies by the lower intellectual substances. And seeing that the higher a substance is, the more universal is its power, while the power of an intellectual substance is more universal than the power of a body, the higher intellectual substances have powers entirely independent of any corporeal power, and consequently they are not united to bodies, whereas the lower intellectual substances have powers confined to certain limits and dependent on certain corporeal organs for their exercise. and consequently they need to be united to bodies. And just as the higher intellectual substances have a more universal power, so too they receive from God more perfectly the divine disposal of things, in that they are acquainted with the scheme of order, even as regards individuals, through receiving it from God. This manifestation of the divine governance, made by God, reaches to the uttermost intellectual substances. Thus it is said, Job 25:3, is there any numbering of his soldiers, and upon whom shall not his light arise? On the other hand, the lower intelligences do not receive this manifestation so perfectly as to be able to know thereby every detail of the order of divine providence left to their execution, but only in a general way, and the lower their position, the less detailed knowledge of the divine government do they receive through this first manifestation received from above, so much so that the human intellect, which is the lowest in point of natural knowledge, has a knowledge of only certain most general things. Accordingly, the higher intellectual substances receive immediately from God the perfection of the knowledge in question, which perfection the other lower intellectual substances need to receive through them, just as we have said above, that the general knowledge of the disciple is brought to perfection by means of the specific knowledge of the master. Hence it is that Dionysius, speaking of the highest intellectual substances which he assigns to the first hierarchy or holy sovereignty, says that they are not sanctified by means of other substances, but that they are placed by God himself immediately around him, and as far as possible close to his immaterial and incomprehensible beauty, on which they gaze, and in which they contemplate the intelligible concept of his works. And by these, he says, the inferior ranks of heavenly substances are instructed. Accordingly, the higher intelligences receive their perfection from a higher source of knowledge. Now, in every disposition of providence, the order of effects is derived from the form of agents, since the effect must needs proceed from its cause in some kind of likeness. Now it is for the sake of an end that the cause communicates the likeness of its form to the effect. Hence the first principle in the dispositions of providence is the end, the second is the form of the agent, the third is the appointment of the order of effects. Consequently, in the order of the intellect, the highest degree is the consideration of the idea of order. In the end, the second degree is the same consideration, in the form, while the third is the knowledge of the disposition of order in itself and not in a higher principle. Wherefore the art which considers the end governs the art which considers the form, as the art of sailing governs the art of shipbuilding. And the art which considers the form governs the art which considers only the order of movements which prepare the way for the form, as the art of shipbuilding governs the handiwork of the builders. Accordingly, there is a certain order among the intelligences who take from God himself immediate and perfect cognizance of the order of divine providence. The first and highest perceive the ordered scheme of providence in the last end itself, which is the divine goodness. Some of them, however, clearer than others, and these are called seraphim, i.e., fiery or setting on fire, because fire is used to designate intensity of love or desire, which are about the end. Hence Dionysius says that this name indicates both their fervent and quivering activity towards God, and their leading lower things to God as their end. The second place belongs to those who acquire perfect knowledge of the scheme of providence in the divine form, and these are called cherubim, which signifies fullness of knowledge, for knowledge is made complete through the form of the thing known. Wherefore Dionysius says that their name indicates that they contemplate the highest operative power of the divine beauty. The third grade is of those who contemplate the disposition of divine judgments in itself, and they are called thrones, because the throne is significative of judicial power, according to Psalms 9:5, thou hast sat on the throne, who judgest justice. Hence Dionysius says that this name signifies that they are God-bearers and adapted for the obedient fulfillment of all divine undertakings. What has been said must, however, be understood not as though the divine goodness, essence, and knowledge of the disposition of things were three distinct things, but in the sense that, according to what we have been saying, we may look at the matter in question from different points of view. Again, There must be order among even the lower spirits who receive from the higher spirits perfect knowledge of the divine ordered to be fulfilled by them, because the higher ones are also more universal in their power of understanding, so that they acquire their knowledge of the order of providence from more universal principles and causes, but those beneath them, from more particular causes. For a man who could consider the entire physical order in the heavenly bodies, would be of a higher intelligence than one who needed to turn his mind to lower things in order to perfect his knowledge. Accordingly, those who are able to know perfectly the order of providence from the universal causes which stand midway between God, the supremely universal cause, and particular causes, are themselves between those who are able to consider the aforesaid order in God Himself, and those who need to consider it in particular causes. Dionysius assigns these to the middle hierarchy, which, as it is governed by the highest, so, says he, does it govern the lowest. Again, among these intellectual substances also there must be some kind of order, since the universal disposition of providence is divided, first, among many executors, which belongs to the order of dominations, because to command what others execute belongs to one having dominion. Hence Dionysius says, that domination signifies a certain liberty free from servile condition and any subjection. Secondly, it is distributed by the operator and executor in reference to many effects. This is done by the order of virtues, whose name, as Dionysius says in the same passage, designates a certain strength and virility in carrying out the divine operations, without so much as swerving, through weakness, from the divine movement. Hence it is evident that the principle of universal operation belongs to this order, so that apparently the movement of the heavenly bodies belongs to this order also, from which as from universal causes particular effects ensue in nature, wherefore they are called powers of heaven. Luke 21:26, where it is said the powers of heaven shall be moved. To the same spirits apparently belongs the execution of those divine works which are done outside the order of nature, for these are the highest of God's ministries, for which reason Gregory says, that the virtues are those spirits through whom miracles are frequently wrought. And if there be anything else of a universal and prominent nature in the fulfillment of the divine ministry, it is fittingly ascribed to this order. Thirdly, the universal order of providence, once established in its effects, is guarded from confusion, by curbing the things which might disturb that order. This belongs to the order of powers. Wherefore Dionysius says in the same place that the name powers implies a well-established order, without confusion, in the divine undertakings, and so Gregory says, that it belongs to this order to check contrary powers. The lowest of superior intellectual substances are those who receive the knowledge of the order of divine providence in relation to particular causes. These are placed in immediate authority over human affairs. Of them Dionysius says, this third rank of spirits presides, in consequence, over the human hierarchy. By human affairs we must understand all lower natures and particular causes, that are subordinated to man and serve for his use, as we have already explained. Among these also there is a certain order, for in human affairs there is a common good, namely the good of the city or of the nation, and this apparently belongs to the order of principalities. Hence Dionysius says in the same chapter that the name principality indicates leadership in a sacred order. Hence Don 10, 12-20 mention is made of Michael the prince of the Jews, of a prince of the Persians, and of a prince of the Greeks. And thus the government of kingdoms and the change of supremacy from one nation to another must belong to the ministry of this order. It would also seem part of their office to instruct those men who are in positions of authority in matters pertaining to the administration of their office. There is also a human good, not common to many, but belonging to an individual by himself, yet useful not to one only, but to many. For instance, those things which all and each one must believe and observe, such as the articles of faith, the divine worship, and the like. This belongs to the archangels, of whom Gregory says, that they announce the greater things. Thus we call Gabriel an archangel, because he announced the incarnation of the Word to the Virgin, which is an article of faith for all. There is also a human good that belongs to each one singly. This pertains to the order of angels, of whom Gregory says that they announce minor matters. Hence they are called guardian angels according to Psalms 90:11. He hath given his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Wherefore Dionysius says, that the archangels are between the principalities and angels, because they have something in common with both, with the principalities, inasmuch as they lead the lower angels, and rightly so, because in human affairs matters of restricted interest must be regulated according to those that are of common interest and with the angels, because they announce to the angels, and through the angels, to us, for it is the duty of the latter to announce to men what concerns each individual. For this reason the lowest order has received as proper the name common to all, because, to wit, its duty is to announce to us immediately. And so the name archangel is as it were composed of both, since archangel means a principal angel. Gregory assigns the ordering of the heavenly spirits differently, for he places the principalities among the spirits of the second rank, immediately after the dominations and the virtues among the lowest, above the archangels. But to one who considers the matter carefully, the difference is but small, for, according to Gregory, the principalities are not placed over nations but over good spirits, as holding the principal place in the execution of the divine ministry, because, says he, to be a principal is to stand in a higher place than others. According to the explanation given above, we said that this belonged to the virtues. As to the virtues, according to Gregory, they are assigned to certain particular operations when, in some special case, outside the usual order of things, miracles have to be wrought. In this way they are fittingly numbered among the lowest angels. Both explanations have the authority of the apostle, for he says, setting him, namely Christ, on his right hand in heavenly places, above all principality, and power, and virtue, and dominion, where it is clear that in the ascending order he places the powers above the principalities, and the virtues above these, and the dominations above the last named. This is the order adopted by Dionysius, whereas speaking of Christ to the Colossians he says, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and in him. Here we see that, beginning with the thrones, in the descending order, he places the dominations under them, beneath these the principalities, and lower still the powers. This is the order adopted by Gregory. Mention is made of the seraphim, Isaiah 6:2-6, of the cherubim, Isaiah 3, of the archangels in the canonical epistle of Jude 9, when Michael the archangel, disputing with the devil, etc., and of the angels in the Psalms, as already observed. In all ordered powers there is this in common, that the lower all work by virtue of the higher. Hence what we have stated as belonging to the order of seraphim, all the lower angels accomplish by virtue thereof, and the same applies to the other orders.